Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian on Christ the King Sunday. Please join me in the responsive call to worship. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. The heavens proclaim his righteousness. Zion hears and is glad, and the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name.
Thank you.
As thankful people, we can be so thankful that God is preparing us for his kingdom, free from sorrow, free from sin, by allowing us to come to him and asking forgiveness for all the ways we fall short. Please join me in the prayer of confession and continue in silence. We confess to you, O God, that we are not the persons we would like others to think we are. We are not even the persons we would like to think of ourselves as being. Only in the security of your love are we able to admit our secret fears and desires. Hear them now, O God, and forgive us for our sins. Give us new life from above and reshape us in the image of your Son, our Savior Jesus. Hear our prayers as we continue in silence. And now, together, let us receive God's assurance of our pardon. God knows the hearts of men and women. God hears from heaven and forgives our sins. We are all, for Christ's sake, forgiven.
Thank you.
gracious, ever-living God, we bring these small offerings to you, asking that you will multiply them for the glory of your name and to bring others into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
How you doing? Good. Hey. Do you guys like my hat? Is this really a hat? What is this really?
Crown.
It's a crown. And I'm wearing a crown today because today is Christ the King Sunday. And every king, what does every king have? A crown. How about a kingdom? Every king has a kingdom. How you doing? And if you were guessing what Jesus' kingdom would be, what would you say it would be?
Heaven.
Heaven. What about the church? Yeah. Jesus' kingdom, well, members of Jesus' kingdom, that's the church. And Christ the King Sunday is a time for us to remember that Christ is King. He is king of everything. There's nothing that he doesn't control. And what's really cool is that he invites us to be kings and queens too. Did you know that you have your own kingdom? Well, you do, James. You have your own kingdom because there are certain things that are completely within the control of James. And what the Lord invites us to do is to bring our kingdoms to him and let him rule in our hearts. And that's how he spreads his kingdom. And what's even cooler is Jesus said, anybody who comes to me has to become like a child. If you want to be in the kingdom of God, you have to become like a child. Why? Because he wants us to always be growing into his kingdom. Do you remember last week when Miss Whitney offered you guys some food? What did she offer you? She offered you baby food. But you're too old for baby food, right? Because you've grown. And the more you grow, the bigger you get and the bigger your kingdom gets. And the bigger your kingdom gets, if Jesus is the king of your heart, that means the bigger his kingdom gets too. So I've got some crowns for you that I'll give you just as soon as we pray to remind you that you have your own kingdom and that you want Jesus to reign in your heart and in the world. Yeah, exactly. Let's pray. We praise you, Jesus, because you are the King. And we thank you that we can come to you as children and grow into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to First Presbyterian Church. There are a few announcements to highlight before we pray. The community Thanksgiving service is tomorrow at St. Luke's United Methodist Church, and it is a great time for us to come together with members of other churches and thank the Lord. The membership committee is scheduling an outing for December 4th to the Virginia Christmas Spectacular at the Thomas Road Baptist Church, and if you want to do that, you can contact John Paris or Christy Edgar. Tomorrow, some ladies or gentlemen, if gentlemen would like to be involved, are going to decorate the church for Advent. And Marie Louise is gone. Does anybody know what time that's happening? About 11 o'clock. So if you're interested in decorating the church for Advent, come on over around 11 o'clock. The angel tree is up, so we invite you to go get an angel. Don't forget to fill out the tracking card. And on December 10th, the deacons are going to be giving out some clothes at the Saturday Lunch Ministry. That's a time that I can tell you from experience. Our guests at the Saturday Lunch Ministry look forward to that time when we have clothes. So if you're in the mood to clean out your closet or you have anything that you just don't like anymore or doesn't fit, bring it by, and the deacons will give it out on Saturday the 10th. Have I forgotten anything? I'm good? Okay. Well, with that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, our King, whose love is steadfast and whose grace is beyond all measure, prove yourself in our midst this morning. Move upon our minds and hearts with such a sense of your presence that we cannot mistake it. Arrest our attention as you arrested the attention of Moses at the burning bush. Excite our interest as you excited the interest of Isaiah in the temple. Overcome our lethargy as you overcame that of the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. Wake us up. Help us to apprehend your reality, that all other realities will retreat into shadowy paleness beside you. Expose our sin. Quicken our commitment. Stir up our love and concern. Call us into your service. Help us to be done with lesser things, with anxieties for the future or worldly success, with devotion to trivial goals, with the pursuit of immoral ends, and clinging to Christ, aim only to hear your voice and obey your will. Transform this church, Lord, with all its mighty potential, into a lighthouse for this city and a warehouse for the unfed and unclothed. Comfort those who grieve, heal those who languish, and give wisdom to those who rule. Restore our nation to the level of sanity and devotion it knew in its finest hours. Be God in our midst, and let us fall down before you as your people to cry out in joy and thanksgiving. May Christ be the King of our hearts, and may we glorify him forever. We ask these things in his name and pray as he taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Heather and choir. Please join me in the unison prayer for illumination. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Amen. Our first lesson today is 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 9. As Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Joel and Abijah, his oldest sons, held court in Beersheba, but they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. They accepted bribes and perverted justice. Finally, the leaders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. "Look," they told him, "you are now old, and your sons are not like you. Give us a king like all the other nations have." Samuel was very upset with their request and went to the Lord for advice. "Do as they say," the Lord replied, "for it is me they are rejecting, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually forsaken me and followed other gods. And now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about how a king will treat them." And the second lesson from Luke 6, 20 through 38. "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said," this is Jesus talking, "blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. But I say to you that hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your coat as well. Give to everyone who begs from you, and of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. And our last lesson, instead of the Revelation passage, is Colossians 1, 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. The word of the Lord.
Well, this is the end of the liturgical year. It's Christ the King Sunday, and we crown the year with the knowledge that Christ is King. And maybe it's because this election cycle was so crazy, or maybe it's because I'm just getting older. But this year, I am particularly glad to celebrate Christ as King. And as we prepare to begin a new liturgical year next week with Advent, I think it's appropriate to spend some time orienting ourselves around Jesus Christ as ruler, not just of the cosmos, but of our hearts as well, and to remember how our lives are changed and formed because of that. We need a reminder because we were not born into Christ's kingdom. We were reborn into it. Kingdom living does not come naturally to us. Because the kingdom of God is our adoptive family, there's a lot that, while normative for God's kingdom, is a culture and way of life that we have to learn and grow into. It's the culture of the world that's second nature to us. And so I want to take a few minutes this morning to contrast those two kingdoms and to explore how we might continue to grow into good citizens of the King of Kings. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, but we're living here as aliens in the kingdom of this world. We read that passage from 1 Samuel this morning to remind us how hard it is to live in a way that's countercultural. Even in Old Testament times, Almighty God intended that he himself would be king over his people. But the Israelites wanted a king like the other nations that surrounded them. Samuel was angry with that request, but God said, "Let them have their way." In verse 7, he tells Samuel, "Listen to whatever the people say. You are not the one they are rejecting. They are rejecting me as their king." So let's talk about a few of the obvious differences between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. And it's important to point out that each kingdom has its own vision of the good life. And I want this vision of the good life to sort of serve as a framework for how we think about the two kingdoms. So what do I mean by the good life? I mean, when you think of what it means to be happy and fulfilled, what a fully formed human looks like, that's what I mean by the vision of the good life. And we could talk about all kinds of differences, but let's look at the big three: money, love, and power. And I have to warn you that it's very possible that I'm going to step on toes this morning, but I want you to know I'm stepping on my own toes. If I preach for nobody else this morning, I'm sure that I'm preaching for myself. So don't get your feelings hurt. Don't be offended at me. So let's talk about money and the kingdom of the world. We're in the full swing of the Christmas season right now already, at least the commercial Christmas season. And when you think about money, consumerism, especially in this country, is a problem. I was watching a lot of football yesterday. You guys probably were too. And I don't know if you've seen the Walmart commercial where the family is like sitting on the couch waiting, twiddling their thumbs on that Thanksgiving dinner is obviously over, and they can't wait to do the next thing that's going to make them happy. And so when it's time, I guess it's 6 p.m. for Walmart, they all jump up and they run happily to their cars and they go to Walmart so that they can have this happy time. Believe it or not, that's a liturgy. There are Christian liturgies. We've been doing some of those today. There are also some secular liturgies. And there's a liturgy around the mall or around Walmart where we go to be happy. We go with our friends shopping on Black Friday. And I'm not trying to suggest that you don't do that. But I am suggesting that you understand that it's a worldly liturgy. And if you can take part in it, it's all good. Hey, I'm hoping you do go buy some cell phones, right? But it's a secular liturgy. And those things that we can buy, they equal comfort, right? If I could just have this next thing, then maybe I would be happy. Money or the things that they buy, it's safety for us. It's freedom. And to a degree, when you think about that, it's like an idol. And I'm not trying to say that there's anything wrong with having money, because there isn't. But if money equals your safety and not God, that's a problem. If the next thing that you buy is what gives you comfort, that's a problem. So what does money look like in the kingdom of God, or wealth? What does Jesus have to say to it? Give to anyone who asks you. And if someone takes what you have, don't demand it back. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Lend without expecting repayment. And this next one was not in what Becky read this morning, but consider the lilies. God is our safety. It's God's responsibility to provide for our needs. And he has blessed most of us in here with a very nice, comfortable living. And he intends us to have those things. But he also does not intend for that to be where we find our security. Okay, let's go to love. Here's what the world says. I love those who love me back. I do good to those who do good to me. I look out for number one, or family first. I got to take care of my family first. I can't be concerned about a risk that might involve me or my family. But what does Jesus say? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And when he gives parables about family gatherings, we're getting ready to gather for Thanksgiving. And again, nobody loves a good Thanksgiving meal with their family more than I do. But Jesus would probably be inviting the people who don't have an invitation. I know that in my family, we haven't done that, have we, Jill? We haven't invited anybody outside of our family. So, again, I'm not saying that you should not celebrate with your family, but I'm saying, how can we reach out as members of the kingdom and love the way Jesus loved? And power. In Matthew 20, Jesus said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles, that they lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." The worldly vision of authority really is, what can I get for myself? I'm going to exercise my rule. Jesus' view of authority is what? The greatest among you will be the servant of all. This is one I almost hesitate to bring up, because there's another liturgy around power and authority that all of us hold with almost a religious fervor. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do this. I'm not saying it at all. You see the American flag right over there and the Christian flag over here. But there's a secular liturgy around this country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. There's nothing wrong with pledging allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, but your first allegiance is to be to Jesus Christ, the Lord. And he is Lord here, and he's Lord all over the world. But you know, if you've been upset with Colin Kaepernick because he will not stand up and pledge allegiance to the flag, it might be a little too important to you. One of the great things about this country is Colin Kaepernick actually has the freedom to not stand up and pledge allegiance to this flag. He's a brother in Christ. Those tattoos all over his arms, those are Bible verses, most of them. So I'm not trying to offend anybody, but what I want you to hear is our first allegiance is to not to this flag, but to Jesus Christ, and to live as his people in this world. Both of these kingdoms are vying for our hearts. They both paint pictures of the good life, of human flourishing. In our hearts is planted a vision of what it means to be fully human, and ultimate desires are contained in that vision. Love, safety, security, the freedom to pursue the good life. We make all of our penultimate decisions around these big ultimate decisions about who is Lord. We develop certain relationships. We act in certain ways. We pursue certain goods. We make certain sacrifices. We enjoy certain things. Christ the King Sunday challenges us to take a look at how we're orienting our lives. What do you love and desire most? What's the vision of the good life that you long for? To which kingdom are you fundamentally oriented? And what's the evidence in your life of that orientation? And I would say that might be the most telling question, because our mission on this earth is not just to live and enjoy our status as citizens of the kingdom of God, but to invite other people into that kingdom. Let me ask it this way. If the Martians existed, and a Martian were to come and observe your life, what would they conclude about the good life by watching you? Like I said in the beginning, the kingdom of God is our adoptive family, and usually God's ways don't come naturally to us. To grow into the kingdom, we have to be formed. That's true whether we're 4 or 24 or 84. And I think the reason Jesus says that we have to become like children if we want to enter the kingdom of God is because he wants to point out that we never leave that posture of learning and growing. So, with all that, what's God calling us to do? I think mindfulness is very important. If we pay attention to where we are in our relationship with God, in our relationships with others, in our relationship with ourselves, we'll be more likely to perceive where God is growing and shaping us. We need to develop kingdom habits. And those are ways to open ourselves to mindfulness and awareness. Daily scripture reading, prayer and meditation. Is there enough quiet in your life so that you can hear the voice of God if he speaks to you? And kingdom vision. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, we're asking for Jesus' kingdom to invade the earth. And that actually happens when you submit your kingdom, like I said to the children, to his kingdom. All of us have a kingdom or realm which is under our control. Let's open up our little kingdoms to God's ultimate rule with intentionality and see what kind of fantastic things that God does through us. And finally, a childlike desire to grow. Openness goes a long way. Remember that growth and formation is meant to be normative for our entire lives. Let's open ourselves to God's transforming work. In the process, we'll look more and more like the King of Kings, and we'll be a beacon in this city, and who knows, maybe in the world. In Jesus' name. I invite you to stand with me, and instead of the Apostles' Creed, I included number two from the Theological Declaration of Barm, and it's part of our Book of Confessions. We're reading number two. Jesus Christ, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, God's assurance of the... So, in the same way, and with the same seriousness, is he also God's mighty claim upon our whole life. Through him befalls us a joyful deliverance from the godless fetters of this world. We reject the false doctrine as though there were areas of our life in which would not belong to Jesus, but to other lords. Our hymn of praise is 151, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Go out in peace, brothers and sisters, to love and serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving.